This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, we've got some interesting things. You know, things always happen in this business, in the sports world, that just slips by us and we don't even realize it. And one almost got by me. Almost. Not quite, but it almost got by me. But this weekend, Tommy Hearns is being inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. And I didn't even realize that till I read it today, that Hearns is going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. So congratulations to Tommy Hearns as he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And of course, we might have a Triple Crown winner this weekend coming up on Sunday. The Belmont Stakes will be have the race, and I'll Have Another as the favorite. Wasn't a favorite in the other two races, but he's going to be a favorite going into this one. So we'll see if I'll Have Another wins the Triple Crown. And then, of course, another event almost got by me as well. The gymnastic trials to make the Olympic team will be going on this weekend. Jordan Weber from DeWitt will be there and trying to make the Olympic team. So, boy, we've got a lot of things going on. And then, of course, your great Detroit Tigers are trying to break their losing streak to the Cleveland Indians. Haven't beat the Cleveland Indians all year long. And that game is just getting started. So a lot going on this weekend, a lot going on today right here on Sports Talk 870. So we've got plenty to talk about, my friend. So let's talk about some of the things. And we'll have Dan Enos from the Central Michigan coach on with us a little bit later on. And we'll talk about the CMU Michigan State game and CMU's schedule. They've got a pretty tough schedule coming up this year. And, of course, Dan is in his third year of coaching. And obviously, I think he's probably feeling a little pressure that he's got to win some this year. That's for sure. So just give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKR. And needless to say, the other big thing happening this weekend is the Bradley Pacquiao fight. So there is a lot going on this weekend in the world of sports. So you can call us to talk about any of things going on, anything that you want, anything that you've heard about, or anything that you just want to get off your chest or something like that. Aaron, I did want to ask you, I had a question for you. You know, do you know why do you think we watch sports so much?
Why do we watch sports so much?
Wow. Why do we watch sports? Yeah.
Wow. That could be the whole show there, Earl. You know, it depends what aspect you want to look at. I mean, I think there's various areas you can address as to why we watch sports. It's kind of like the old question, why do people follow Hollywood stars? I think it's kind of the same deal. We look with some of the stars as far as sports are concerned. We look for those players to be, they inspire us to be, something. That's one area I think we watch sports. Another reason is simply, not to get too deep here. I mean, it's very simple. We enjoy playing the sport, so people pay attention to it. Another reason might be, that's a loaded question for sure, but, I think it's just, I don't know, that's actually a really tough question to answer, because I don't think you could answer it in a sort of one or two sentence kind of way. I mean, I guess you would really have to sit down and focus on a specific area.
Let me give it a shot.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Let's see what you got.
I would say one of the primary reason, even though we take it for granted, we watch sports is because we don't know the outcome.
Yeah.
A lot of us assume things. We're assuming, none of us thought. A lot of us thought today that the Stanley Cup playoffs would be over, but no. Last night, New Jersey came back and had a very convincing win, and of course, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. Made sure that San Antonio bowed out of the playoffs. So now we got to see about Boston and Miami. So, that's the thing with sports. If we knew who was going to win, obviously we wouldn't watch it.
Right.
You know, but that's what's always intriguing, because you tune into an event, even though a lot of us have certain ideas, think a team is going to win, but they might not, because things happen during a game, as you know. A lot of things happen during a game or around a game that sometimes players have no control over, or they can't control, and you know, they just lose the game and lose perspective on it. But I would say, you know, primarily because we just don't know what's going to happen, even though we try to guess, we think we know what's going to happen, but we just don't know what's going to happen in every game. Of course, the gamblers try to make it so they know what's happening, or they're going to know the outcome. I would say the people who probably know the best about it are the people that make the odds in Vegas. I mean, those people really know of the odds, and they do a pretty good job of making the odds overall.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we don't know the outcome, and you know, a lot of us are wrong a lot of the times. Even the ones that, you know, are considered the utmost professionals and know everything about this sport and should be the ones that get it right. But the reality is, I guess another analogy to look at it is like someone predicting the weather. You can predict it, but you can't control it.
If you can't control something,
you can't. There's a chance you're going to be wrong. But you're right. Sports is definitely one of those things where you never know what's going to happen, and I think that's why, you know, you see college basketball, I think, is a great example of once March Madness hits, everyone fills out their bracket, and there's 80 bazillion different, you know, ways.
Most of them are wrong.
Most of them, yep, exactly. Oh, mine was perfect this year. I don't know what you're talking about. Which makes it exciting, because then you can compete. You know, you're involved with the sport, but you're also competing with other friends and other family members in the same way, guessing whether or not who's right or wrong. And I think we've got a caller coming in.
Yep. So we'll see what the caller is wants to talk about. And if you have anything you'd like to talk about, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Let's go to the phones and chat with Dennis. Dennis, how you doing, my man?
Good. How you doing?
Okay.
Earl, we watch way too many sports.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a saturation point. I think it reached a saturation point years ago with the cable networks and the internet and talk shows. It's way too much if people don't really spend enough time on things that are more important, you know, the things that would be in the A section and B sections of the paper, or the people that surround themselves in life, you know, your family, job, things that you should be concerned with. And look, no, there's no bigger sports fan than me, so I'm not trying to be a hypocrite about this, but I've been disappointed over the last few years at how myopic some people are about it. Sports, that's all they want to be focused on, that's all they're interested in, and it makes for kind of a boring conversation. But let me and you talk sports right now.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw Tarver last weekend, Earl, but he played himself. He looked terrible.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He came out grossly out of shape, didn't really have a fight plan other than he was going to get in there and see what this cat was capable of, figure him out and counter him. And you know, he nearly pulled out a win doing that.
He did.
The guy was, you know, in great shape, fast. I forget his name now.
Yeah, Coyote.
That's his name. And, you know, a fast young fighter, strong, but he's not that good of a boxer.
Right.
Sarver was able to figure him out, but, you know, Sarver should have knocked that guy out 3 or 4 rounds. I was really disappointed that, you know, here he is. He's supposed to be the consummate professional. And he comes in the ring, he looks like he's been sitting around the couch eating Doritos last year.
Well, you know, he's 42 years old, so he's another one. It's getting close for him to retire, even though he didn't start. He started late, but, you know, when you get 42, you know, it's awful. If you don't do like Bernard Hopkins and just stay on top of it to keep yourself in shape, it's awful hard to keep going at that age.
But, Earl, I've seen a lot of 40-plus fighters, and with the exception of heavyweight, when they step in the ring, they're generally in shape, even if they're not sharp, even if their reflexes are gone, even if they don't have the spirit and the fight that they used to have as a younger man, at least they show up and look like they've been through some training.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's rare to see a guy at that weight class so fat like he did. I was really disappointed in him. On Saturday night, I'm not going to be able to watch a fight unless, you know, miracle happens. But I think Pacquiao's going to win, but I think it's going to go the distance, and I think Bradley's going to look good. I think Bradley's going to give him a tough fight just because he's got great feet, got great hand speed, he's clever, and Pacquiao's going to have a difficult time landing punches on this guy, enough to hurt him at least. And I see the fight going the distance with Pacquiao winning the decision. How do you see it, Earl?
Yeah, I see it basically the same way, going the distance and beating Bradley. Bradley's got that hunger going for him, you know. His first really to get a chance to beat the best in the world or one of the top fighters in the world. So he's got that hunger going for him, but I don't know if that's enough. I think his speed, his hand speed and the way he's fight. I mean, let's face it, he hasn't been beaten in a fight since 2005. So he's gone 7 years without losing. So, yeah, you have to give Pacquiao the edge. And, you know, I think, like you, I think that Bradley will give him a very good fight.
Well, Bradley's undefeated.
Yeah, he is.
Pacquiao, he has lost the decision, but he's definitely been beat. Mm-hmm. Marquez has beat him twice. They just, they gave the fight to Pacquiao because of his popularity. And then on top of that, man, Bradley doesn't have any hands. He doesn't have any power.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Yeah, only 12 knockouts.
Right. If he has the power, I give him an even chance. I keep telling people, man, Pacquiao is on the down slope of his career. He is not looking as good as he did a few years ago, but he's still got the name. He's still selling tickets. But he's just not the fighter that he used to be, at least as far as I'm concerned. So I would not be surprised if Bradley give him a real tough fight.
Yeah, I mean, the word out there is that Pacquiao may only fight three more fights, if that many. So I know he's coming close to the end of his career. He'd like to fight. He says he wants that Mayweather fight. So let's see if they'll get it on one day. I mean, you know, we can't hold our breath because we'd be dead if we hold our breath waiting for it. But hopefully they'll get it on one day.
Well, you know, talk to Bob Arum, man. I think if there's a big obstacle that fight happening, I think Arum is the biggest one.
Yeah, he's a big one. There's no doubt about that. But, Mayweather says he doesn't want that 50-50 split. He says it's got to be 60-40. So if that's...
Hey, but Earl, it should be 50-50. You kidding me?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. It should be 50-50, but...
No, Earl, you misunderstood me. Should not be 50-50.
Oh, okay.
What's Pacquiao done to deserve a 50-50 split with Mayweather? Does he bring in the gate that Mayweather brings in? No.
No.
Does he have the resume that Mayweather has? No.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the fighter that Mayweather is? Probably not. So just looking at pure economics, man, he doesn't deserve a 50-50 split. I think, as a matter of fact, I've heard Mayweather say, I have guaranteed Pacquiao $40 million,
yep.
And then his share of the receipt. Well, Pacquiao's career combined earnings isn't $40
million. Yeah, it's true.
This will be the biggest fight of his career. And he sat back here crying because he's not getting an even split with the most popular fighters measured by gate receipt boxing history. Are you kidding me? He doesn't deserve 50-50. And he definitely does not have Mayweather's resume. Let's get that out there right now. You put him side by side, Mayweather's a much more accomplished fighter. So no way he gets 50-50 if I'm advising Mayweather. So I agree with Mayweather on that.
Well, then we might not have a fight then.
Hey, man, that's just how it goes, baby.
Yeah.
All right, Earl.
Okay, we'll talk to you, Dennis. Yep.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we just might not have that Mayweather Pacquiao fight that everybody wants and claims we'd like to see, but who knows if it's going to happen, that's for sure. Hey, got one more caller. Let's go back to Atlanta and talk to Mr. Tate. Mr. Tate, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Mr. Robinson?
Okay.
Good, good. Hey, I usually call you in from Atlanta, but now I'm calling in from Lansing. I just touched down back home, but I wanted to comment on a couple of things I heard you discussing in the booth there with your last caller and whatnot. He said he's the biggest sports fan there is, and I totally have to disagree with that. But I think what a lot of people don't understand when you're talking about this boxing fight is that it's all politics, and I think that's something that plays a part, obviously, in a bunch of different situations, especially considering this Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight. I think it's a fight that will eventually take place. I don't think that Floyd Mayweather will do all his time. I think that he's very deserving of a 60-40, in which I know a lot of you guys there are basically saying that he definitely should go for the 50-50, but, you know, it's an issue with one person doesn't want to take the Olympic-style drug test within 28 days, and then they go back and say, okay, I'll take it within 3 days before the fight. fight, and then the very night of the fight, right after the fight in the locker room, and then Floyd Mayweather says, okay, well, now it's a money issue when we're talking 60-40 versus Pacquiao's request of a 50-50. Me, personally, I think that it's the politics that's involved. I think that with this being the last fight that there is, that there is to look forward to anyways as far as a big-time fight that everybody wants to see, I think that both camps are in agreement with the Mayweather camp and the Pacquiao camp are both in agreement to build this fight. I think that both camps make it seem like we're going to point the finger at this person saying that, you know, that he's the issue why this fight isn't being taken place. And now we're going to blame it on this person. I think that it's both camps in agreement. It's the politics involved in order to be able to build this fight. Now, that's me personally. Myself, as far as the Triple Crown, I don't want to get too long-winded with you here, but I'm definitely going to pick I Have Another to win that Triple Crown for the first time since 2008 and the 12th try since 1978 when Affirm won the first Triple Crown. Now, what I will say is that disappointments are not very rare, dating back to 98 when Real Quiet seems to be a lock and a consensus pick for the Belmont Stakes but was upset. I believe it was Victory Gallup. Also, Smarty Jones, who was a consensus pick, was defeated at the Belmont Stakes, thanks to Burstone, who was a 36-1-odd favorite, losing in the final 70 yards. But that's who I'll take. Last but not least, like I said, I don't want to get too long-winded. I appreciate you guys for taking my call, and I listen to you guys every day. But I am going to go with – first of all, I think that San Antonio Spurs blew that didn't necessarily blow that game. I think that it was taken away from them because of the hunger that the Oklahoma City Thunder had last night. And I do think that the last victory for the Boston Celtics were the other night. I think that Miami will go ahead and put them away with the next two games. So I appreciate you, Mr. Robinson. Thank you so much for having me on, man.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. And I thought last night's game, I thought San Antonio just ran out of gas. I don't think they took it from them. They just ran out of gas. Their age started to show, and you know, they've been playing a long time. They've won a lot of games, but they just couldn't get it done last night. 23 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870. WKAR.
Republican governors and even some Democratic mayors are reducing the scope of public employee unions. The number of union shops in the private sector has been dwindling for decades, and in this economy, a lot of people see strikes as all but unthinkable. I'm Neil Conan. Who needs a union? Plus, Andy Beyer joins us as I'll Have Another eyes the Triple Crown. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good to have you with us today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Our high will be 78 degrees, and it'll be mostly sunny today. Overnight, a low of 55 and partly cloudy. Then mostly sunny both Friday and Saturday. Friday's high 81, Saturday's high 85.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, talk sports with us, or just send us an email right here on Sports Talk 870. And Aaron, as you see, we've got a few people out there giving their thoughts on why we watch sports. And there are a lot of reasons, but of course, that's one reason why they kept gambling out and made it so prohibitive, because if you can sway that outcome to one side or another, that definitely changes your game. People, I know for a while, people had a hard time understanding why Pete Rose was banned from gambling. I never had a problem with that because, you know, I knew when you try to fix the game or try to, you know, sway the points or something like that, that's a detriment to the game. And the commissioner saw it that way and definitely got Pete Rose out of the game. And he may not ever get back in the game, even though he was a pretty good manager, but he screwed himself by doing all the betting he was doing.
Right. Yeah. You can't be doing those things you know, without people knowing, and not to mention it doesn't make yourself look good. You know, you leave the betting to the people in Las Vegas as far as that's concerned. You know, like, as you said earlier, they're the ones that probably know the most. Obviously, they're ones dealing with a lot of money. But, you know, I wonder what the sports world would be like if we didn't have Las Vegas, you know, with all the bets. I wonder how different these sports would look or what would feel or how much money wouldn't be made because, you know, of that kind of stuff. I mean, I've been out there. I've seen these huge, huge, huge scoreboards of, you know, they got every screen, every sport, and every, you got numbers, and you got these horse races, you know, you got everything you need right there, and you have a nice comfy chair, you have a drink brought to you, and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's big money, but that's how it is, too. So, but to go back to the question about why we watch sports, like, I guess, you know, I always thought, too, is like, well, why don't I watch swimming, or why don't I watch more lacrosse, or why don't I watch more of these sports that don't get attention?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it simply because I'm fed from the media these, you know, bigger sports as far as basketball, football, you know, that kind of thing, and I don't get fed these other sports, so I don't really pay attention to them? Or is it because they're not as enjoyable, they're not as exciting, or maybe they're more easier to predict? Possibly. But nonetheless, you know, it's still fun. Nonetheless, I don't care what sport it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't watch a lot of those other sports. I think it's the sports we're introduced as a youth, as we are growing up. Those sports we have a tendency to fall in love with. Like, you know, some people don't understand how I like boxing so much, but I was introduced to it as a young kid, and I fell in love with the sport then. So I still have an affinity for boxing somewhat. And then I grew up playing football and baseball. So I still like those sports, and I you know, I came to love basketball as well. So, you know, those sports you grew up with has a lot to do with it. You don't throw those out and kick them to the curb. You still watch them somewhat. Maybe you don't watch them as much as you used to, but you still follow them somewhat.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. I mean, you know, I'm a huge hockey fan, but I was introduced to hockey when I don't know, 5-6 years old or something like that. And I always used to, you know, had, you know, friends and cousins over, would play roller hockey and, you know, that kind of thing. That I played ice hockey too. So, yeah, you're right. And then, you know, I used to play baseball ever since I've been, you know, 6 or 7. So, you know, that's very true. And, you know, you may not watch it as much now or be involved with it as much now on a more professional level, I guess, but yeah, that's true. And then if you think about it, if you go through middle school, high school, whatever, it's not like, oh, hey, let's join the so-and-so some odd sport. It's usually straightforward football, basketball, baseball, track and field, maybe some tennis, some golf possibly. You know, if you're in a bigger school, you might have lacrosse, maybe a swim team, I don't know. Other than, you know, this is usually the major sports, you know, and if you want to get on a professional level, some of those aren't offered in the high school, middle school level because of budgets or whatever. So, you know, unfortunately, that's just how it is, and you know, it's never going to change. And the big sports are always going to be the big sports, but you know, at least there's people still paying attention to the sports that don't get as much. I mean,
yeah, and the thing is, if you're a player in it and you want to get to the highest level, you've got an awful lot of work to do. It's amazing to me when I was talking to a friend of mine last night. We were talking about basketball, but like he brought up the name of one player, and who wants to get a tryout for an NBA team. I said, he doesn't realize, he thought coming out of high school that he could play in the league. I mean, like a lot of kids do. He thought he could be a pro player. I said, these kids, when they're in high school, they don't look around the country and see there's hundreds, thousands of kids that would love to play in the NBA. Thousands of them. And only one out of those thousands will be good enough to get to the league. And that's the problem. So many kids, they don't look at all the other competition and all the players that they've got to compete against to, you know, hopefully one day just to get a shot to play in the league.
Yeah, they don't look at the big picture. They think they're the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of, let's just take Michigan for example. How many basketball players in Michigan? And, I mean, we have some great basketball players around here. We all know that. You know, Michigan is definitely one of the best areas in the state, but for producing great quality basketball players as well as, you know, around the Detroit area. But, you know, that's just one state out of 50.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of kids, you know, that go and play, you know, they'll go to college and play, you know, basketball there. But even if you make it to college, I mean, the odds of you coming out of college to become a pro player are still pretty slim. And then, you know, most of the sports nowadays, they're international, so you have to deal with international players.
Exactly.
You know, I understand every sport's a little bit different as far as that's concerned, but, you know, you're going to have to deal with international players too. And unfortunately, and we've talked about this before, I mean, I think we're seeing it more and more. Hopefully, it's things that can be addressed, but parents aren't helping the cause either. You know, they're telling their children or, you know, other, you know, family members are telling their son or daughter that, you know, you're the best, you can do it, you're going to be great someday, you know, that doesn't help the cause either. So, you know, I think there's a kind of a, you know, the student has to figure that out on their own, that they're not the only one out there that, you know, is competing to be at a higher level, but the parents also have to realize that their son or daughter is not the only child out there that is athletic and good at what they do. I mean, you know, so there's nothing you can, you know, we can address it all day long, but the reality is, I think it's always going to be that way.
Yeah, unfortunately, it probably will be, but, you know, but those are some of the reasons why we really love sports. I mean, we all love it for some reason or a certain team, like some people, you know, like we have all the college fans, either you're a Michigan Stan or Michigan State fan, or maybe you're a Central Michigan fan or Eastern Michigan fan or a Western Michigan fan. Maybe you went to that school or you live in the area, but a lot of people are fans of a school in their area if they're not there, or they just fall in love with a particular school, and that school, they adopt that school is, you know, as the school of choice, of their choice.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, I grew up in a household that, you know, in a family that was Michigan fans. So, and now I'm here at State. So, you know, a lot of my family's disowned me now, but no, I'm just kidding. You know, now it's like 50-50. And I root for both teams, but, you know, I guess when you're in the business, though, I guess you kind of have to step outside your, you know, I prefer this team, I want this team to win always. And that's another problem is, you know, people only see one side of things.
Right.
You know, and it's, I don't know, I'm sure you've been in the business for a long time. I'm sure you've had conversations with various people that you realize you cannot have a sports conversation with them because they're so one-sided to one team. I think a great example is Michigan versus Michigan State. If you try to have a conversation with, and it goes both ways, if you try to have someone that's a huge Michigan fan or vice versa, a huge Michigan State fan sometimes, that they only see things one way and they think no matter what, the other team just completely is no good. They don't deserve anything, you know, and it's impossible to talk to the sports about them because they get so adamant and they can't even think about what they're saying. And it's just, they don't even realize what they're saying. And then, so it's hard to have a conversation with them about sports. And it makes me think, well, okay, you call yourself a sports fan, but the reality is you're so one-sided, you know, to a certain team.
Yep.
Are you really a sports fan? Because when I think of a sports fan, I think of someone that, you know, sure, might have a team that they want to win, but is also looking at the other teams and appreciates what they do and respects them for what they are doing and not, and just isn't one-sided.
Yeah, and you're right about that because a lot of team fans, they're, you know, like they're a Michigan fan or they're a Michigan State fan, and you know, it's hard to be. I've seen people and tell people you can't root for both. My son-in-law used to be a Michigan fan, and he told his daughters, well, you can't be a Michigan Stan and a Michigan State fan. You know, you got to choose one or the other. So they grew up in a household knowing that, and that's the way a lot of people are. A lot of people are, they want you to be just fans of the one school or the other, and then, you know, root for that one school. So I don't know if there's any answer to it. I've had a lot of conversations about people about that, about either they're a Michigan fan, Michigan State fan, or they're just, I've always said I'm a fan of sports. I love sports, and I'm a fan of sports. And some people didn't like that answer, but that's just me. I'm just a fan of all the sports. I love watching all these sports and love the different games and reads in some of those. So, you know, but we're all fans of certain sports, and maybe we just won't exactly get to do that as well. So, you know, it's one of those things. Hopefully, We'll watch it, and the fans will become a fan of the game. I say I love football, so I'm a fan of football. I'm a fan of baseball. You know, I'm a fan of hockey and a fan of track and field. Not so much tied to that one school, but I'm just a fan of the sports.
Right, exactly. And people want you to join a side because they want you to, you know, when people join a team or they say they're part of a team, that's who they root for. They feel like they're part of that team, which is understandable.
Yeah.
I think we all have, you know, as you say, you're a sports fan. I think I am too. But, I think I went through the phase of, oh, I'm only rooting for this one team and everyone else, whatever. But, you know, that's just how it is. So it's always going to be that way. But, I think if you call yourself a true sports fan, you're right. I think you have to appreciate, you know, other teams. And sure, I'm in agreement. I think you can still root for, certain teams. Obviously, you know, we have this show, which is focused on Michigan State sports. So, we want them to do well. But at the same time, we want there to be competition. We want other teams to be good as well. We want other players to go to other schools to be good as well. So, you know, if we only looked at the one side, you know, here on this show, just only Michigan State, well, you know, that wouldn't do us any good. That wouldn't be any good programming there. Yeah. Although I think some fans would probably want that, but unfortunately that's not how it's going
to
be.
You know, and some fans, they really want you to the school you want to beat, say, like if you're a Michigan State fan, they want you to beat Michigan down in everything. You know, it doesn't matter the sport. They want you, and Michigan fans, a lot of Michigan fans, all they want them to do is just kill Michigan State. They don't want to be close. They don't want to see an evenly played contest where the team, whoever wins it. They just want you to clobber that other team into submission.
Yep, exactly. And then that way they can shove it in your face, you know, and say, oh, hey, you know, we beat you 10 years in a row or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've seen it, and you know, I think football is a perfect example of, oh, hey, you know, you got, sure, you know Michigan State beat us 4 years in a row or whatever it is now, but you know, the 27 years before that we beat you or whatever this many times or whatever. But you know, history is history. There's a reason it's history. It matters. It's what's now. But you're right. Even if it was bowling, you know, they would probably want them to, you know, either side would want them to smash the crap out of them. So. Which in bowling, I don't think you can really smash the crap out of someone. But nonetheless, I think you make a great point there.
Okay, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR East Lansing. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Massachusetts Senate candidate Elizabeth Warren says she's 132nd Cherokee, which stirs a debate. Who can claim American Indian ancestry? Some say it's a personal choice. Others think it relies on bloodlines.
The problem is that the blood quantum is tied to deep, deep anxiety around identity.
Ojibwe writer David Troyer. I'm Neil Conan. How do you prove you're American Indian? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870. WKAR.
It'll be mostly sunny today. Look for a high of 78 degrees. Partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s tonight. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high Friday, 81. And mostly sunny with a high of 85 expected on Saturday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, hopefully shortly we'll be talking with Central Michigan University's head coach, Dan Enos, about the upcoming Central Michigan-Michigan State game. And Central's, they've got a pretty good schedule this year. I've seen it. They've got a very tough schedule, actually, this year. Going to play a lot of good teams. They're going to be playing Navy and Michigan State, another good team. So, so Central Michigan's got... Dan Enos' squad has got a tough road ahead of them. That's this year for sure. But hey, if you want to be good, want to be the best, you have to play a tough schedule, and that's what it has. So right now, let's bring in our guest, good friend Dan Enos, formerly of Michigan State player and coach, and now the head coach of Central Michigan, going into his third year. Hey, Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Hey, pleasure. Doing fine, and glad to have you on. You know, you're getting ready. I know, getting ready all year for. You've got some tough games. You've got a great schedule this year. I mean, it's very challenging, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I think every year is challenging. You know, there's so much parity in college football these days, and then, you know, especially within our conference, there's a lot of parity. So. Every year is just a different challenge, you know. And as you know, Earl, in college football, you're constantly, you know, changing over turnover and personnel on your football team every year with graduation and those types of things. So, and then every year you're bringing freshmen in. So, it's really exciting time of year. As we get into June, you know, it's just the June and July go by so fast for college coaches and players, because we just can't wait to get to August so we can start getting back to work.
Yes, because you have Michigan State coming to your house for the first time this year. I know the kids on campus got to be excited having a Big Ten team coming into your house there. So that's got to be very exciting for you and the players as well.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great day for CMU. You know, just for the campus, the community, and. It's going to be a great environment. You know, we're really looking forward to it. And obviously, you know, to have a chance to play against the caliber of a team of Michigan State and what they've done the last few years. You know, Coach D has done a great job there, and they've got a great football program. And it's going to be a historic day here, and we're going to be very excited about it. You know, it's what I keep trying to tell everybody is that we have a game before that.
Yeah, that's true.
So we gotta win that one, and then as we move into week two, then we'll worry about that one.
Yeah. Now, Dan, how do you look at it with the team having such a tough game then, but you know you've got such a tough schedule with everybody, and it's great to have a Big Ten team coming into your house there. That's sort of going to set the tone and the mood for on campus, because you haven't had one there before. So what does that do for the team, and how do you think your team is preparing for this whole schedule? You've got a tough schedule, so how's the preparation going, at least at this point? I assume you're starting the summer workouts soon.
Yes, we've already we're into summer workouts, our second week already. Preparation's been great. We've had a very good winter conditioning program, and that cycles right into spring practice, and we were very, very pleased with how we progressed throughout the spring. And, you know, now, obviously, as you mentioned, summer workouts are so important these days, because we basically have we have our entire football team here on campus right now, and the only ones that aren't here are our signees are not here yet. They'll be coming in 2 weeks. So, and then at that point, for the last really 6 weeks of the summer, we'll have our entire football team on campus. And, you know, as a coach, we really can't do anything with them football-wise, but our strength and conditioning staff can play a big part in their development. And it's just, you know, this is important, but preparation's been very, very good. And we like our mindset of our football team right now. We like the way we're working. We've got, I think, some outstanding senior leadership, which in college football is very, very important. And we think we have that, and we think we've got some good young players that are getting better every day.
Now, Dan, was it difficult to change? You had to change that team from basically a spread attack going to a base offense, standard running back and passing game. Was that a difficult change for the team?
Not really. You know, we didn't come in with the mindset that we were going to change the system to this or that. We came in to see, first and foremost, what type of personnel we inherited. I think that's what we were trying to build it around. And the quarterback that we inherited, Ryan Radcliffe, was – you know, he's not a runner by any means. He's just, that's not what he does. He's a pure drop back passer, and that was the best quarterback that we had here at the time when we were hired to build the offense around. So that's kind of where we've evolved from. But we're very multiple. You know, we throw the ball very well. We've thrown for over 3,000 yards in both of our first two seasons. But really, what we had to do was we had to build the rest of our football team. We had to you know, we had to recruit tight ends. We had to recruit more running backs. We had to recruit more wide receivers. We had to get more depth on the offensive line. So, you know, as far as that goes, it really wasn't the system for much. It was just we had to just build the football team and try to do what the players we inherited, try to do what they could do the best. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that to this point. But, and, you know, as you look at our football team today and then you look at it, 2 years ago when I arrived, it looks drastically different in a real positive way.
Yeah, and that's good, Dan, because for sure, you know, I'll be up there at that game. Me and a lot of our friends from this area will be up following and covering that game, and look forward to seeing, because it's going to be a lot of excitement for the Central Michigan on campus for sure. What about you know, you've made the changes and you've got and seems like players have really embraced everything that you're trying to do. Has that been good? Is are they happening from the beginning, from the outset, did they really embrace everything that your philosophy?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, since we've been here, we've been very pleased with how our players have worked and how they've interacted. I think, I think everybody's on board. You know, whereas in our first couple of years, I didn't know if I could honestly say that, but I think everybody's on board right now. I think we have great team chemistry. I think our team knows that. The coaches not only want them to play well, but I think they understand the coaches care about them as people, and they're trying to help them through more than just football. And I think college football, that's the great thing about coaching in college, is these are young men that we're dealing with when they get here, and when they leave, they're men, and you can see a maturation process throughout, and it's very important for myself and our staff to not only try to develop these guys as better football players, but to try to develop them as better people. And that's been a wonderful experience, and we have great young men here. You know, and as we get to, you know, the ones we didn't recruit, as we got to know them and their families, that's been a lot of fun and very rewarding. And then the ones obviously that we have recruited and brought in, and we know their families and we know them, it's just, you know, when you get yourself around good people as a coach, that's all you can ask for every day, is that you come into work and that the guys you work with and the people you work with, that you enjoy being around them. And then it's a great bonus when you're around a bunch of young players to coach every day that you enjoy being around. And I know I speak for our entire staff when I say that we love being around these guys.
Hey, Dan, now, when you were back playing here at Michigan State, when you were a quarterback in those days, did you have any idea that you wanted to be a coach or become a head coach at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, when I was a sophomore at Michigan State, I kind of decided that's what I wanted to do. I was around great people. Our staff was outstanding. You know, Coach Perlis was such a great influence on me. As I just mentioned, as a player, that he had an influence on me as a person, not just as a football player. And I looked up to him and admired him. And then to Morris Watts, my quarterback coach, who's now our quarterback coach here, he had a huge influence on me as a person. And, you know, and then the rest of our staff, Charlie Baggett and Pat Shermer and Norm Parker and, you know, Bobby Williams and, you know, all those guys that I was fortunate enough to play for and be around, they had a huge impact on me. And you know, I said, you know what, that's what I want to do. And to be a head coach was something that obviously I think most coaches, you know, strive to be, because I think then you can reach even more people. You know, as an assistant coach, you have a great influence on your players and your group, and as a coordinator, maybe that side of the ball, but as a head coach, you can have an impact on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of players that go through your program, plus the coaches and their families and everybody. So I had great role models, I had great mentors, and you know, I decided back then that was the avenue I wanted to take.
Now, I've heard many things about you. I've heard all the main thing I've heard that you're a great recruiter. What do you do? What makes you a great recruiter? Maybe you don't look at yourself that way, but what do you think makes for a great recruiter?
Well, I'll tell you this. My take on it is this. I think when people say, when I was real young and I first started coaching, I thought when people said he's a great recruiter, I thought that meant, boy, he can really dazzle young men when he talks to them, to entice them and to convince them to go to their school. But now that I've been doing this for a while, I don't think that's really it at all. I think a good recruiter is a guy that evaluates and has a process of evaluation to figure out and find the guys then who to go to talk to and try to convince to come to their school. So I think a great recruiter is a guy that can look at a young man and look at more than just the film, look at the big picture, look at his character, his toughness, his work ethic, what type of desire he has, and then figure out, okay, who are the four or five guys as an assistant coach I'm going to go try to target and recruit, because they're going to fit into our program and they're going to help us win. And sometimes that's not the guy that maybe some of these recruiting services rank as the four or five star guy. Maybe sometimes it's a guy that people may not even know that much about. But I think good recruiters don't worry about any of those things. They get to know every young man they recruit, and sometimes I think the best recruiters are the best evaluators. And if people say that about me, I think that's it's a great compliment. I think I get better as a recruiter every day, because the more you do it, the more you learn by some past mistakes that you make or whatever. But a lot of what we do here is very similar to how we did it with Mark D'Antonio at the University of Cincinnati, and then when we got to Michigan State. And I think, through the course of time, when you recruit and you have a very thorough evaluation process, and as there's a lot of checks and balances, you make less mistakes. And when you make less mistakes, you get better players, and obviously you have a better football team and a better football program.
Yes, because that's one thing about the whole recruiting process. When you go through it, you learn a lot more about it and learn more even about yourself, about the whole recruiting process and how it works overall. How has that helped you? I mean, has recruiting changed very much since you've been in the game, since you've been coaching?
Oh, it's changed a lot, Earl. The big thing is it's changed is that the whole calendar has moved up. You know, like when I came out of high school, this was way back now, 1986, you didn't get offered a scholarship until you went on your official visit, which occurred in December or January of your senior year. So that's when you were actually offered, Sunday morning in the head coach's office, or you weren't offered or whatever it is. I mean, now – our busiest recruiting time is right now. It's May, June, July, and these guys, this is of their junior years. We have guys constantly coming on campus for unofficial visits right now and coming to camps. And, the process has got sped up, quite a bit. So, you got to try to do as much work as you can on the front end to get to know these guys. And I think a lot of times that's why the Mid-American Conference is getting a lot of really, really good players, because I think sometimes the big schools or the bigger schools fill up early. And I think some guys that may have been just average or tweeners as juniors develop over that year. You know, there's a lot of growth that goes on from junior to senior year in high school. And then we're able to sometimes have scholarships left, going into December and January. And I feel like, for example, here we've gotten some very good players that maybe might not were that highly recruited early, but developed and had great senior years, and then have been very good players for us here at CMU. Last year we played 10 true freshmen, and I can just think off the top of my head, Courtney Williams and Anthony Garland were two true freshmen that played that we didn't even really have on our radar too much after the junior year, but they were guys that really developed, and they played for us as true freshmen, and we think they're going to be outstanding players.
How much has it helped you when you send guys to the NFL? I mean, guys get that shot and make it to a pro team. How much has that helped you in your recruiting and getting players to come to Central?
Well, it helps a lot. I think the big thing we tell them is just, and it's the truth, is that hey, if you're good enough, they're going to find you. If you're a good enough player and you come to Central Michigan and you play well, you got every bit of chance to get drafted in the first round or get signed and make a team. The big thing is, if you tell them, you got to play, though. You got to get on the field and be productive first and foremost. So I think with today's day and age, there's so many so-called mid-majors or 1AA guys that end up playing in the NFL. And then when we have the list of NFL players hanging our wall in our football building, when they come through and see that Joe Staley played here, and Frank Zombo played here, and Antonio Brown played here, and so on and so forth, they can look and say, hey, you know what? It can really, really realistically happen here. No question about it.
Yes, and Dan, you know, I look forward to seeing you this fall. It should be a great day and a great game for Michigan, for the state of Michigan. I like the fact how Mark D'Antonio and Dave Brandon and the ADs of the bigger schools have set up this rotation where Central, Eastern, and Western and Michigan State will revolve around, and they'll all have a shot at having a home game on their field. That to me is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty neat they did it. I know we're looking forward to it. And as always, Earl, make sure you come down and say hello to me before the game or something. Okay, bud?
Yeah, I will. I'll do that, my friend.
Okay, take care.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, yep, bye-bye.
And that's Dan Enos talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we want you to give us a call, talk sports. And that Central Michigan game, I know a lot of you will be going to that game. I'll be one of them. I might even drag Aaron to that game with me. It should be a good one, Aaron.
Yeah, no, that should be a good one. And I've never actually been up there to that stadium before. I mean, I've been up to Central before, but that was for other reasons, which I won't say on air. But, that should be a great game. And you're right. I think it's great that all the ADs have kind of come together, whether it's Eastern, you know, Western, whatever, and that they've kind of built up this sort of tradition, I guess, that everyone will have a chance to do a home game. And that's great to see. It keeps all the money, and we all know football, there's a lot of money involved. It keeps all the money here in the state. And it's not like people have to drive far. I mean, these distances aren't like you're not driving up to the tip of the UP or anything. So I think it's great. It keeps family and friends close together. And it should be a great time and a great game.
Yeah, no, I've been to games at Central and Eastern and the Western, all three of the Mid-Am schools, because we play great football here in the state of Michigan. I've even been to a couple of the GLIAC games. So we have great football here in Michigan, and a lot of tough teams, and a lot of fans love to go see some of these games. And I know a lot of the Michigan State fans will be looking forward to going up to Central Michigan. Of course, they all, as we talked about with fans before, they all expect to win, and probably they should win, but you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. I would expect Michigan State to win this one, but you never know. A home crowd, home game like that, you just never know. It's college football.
Yeah.
It's sports. You don't know, just like the weather.
Yeah, that's it. And and that means, you'll be up. I guess that what bothers me sometimes, they say, oh, they got upset. How can they upset this team? Or how could we get upset by that team? Well, hey, the other team, I always say, the other team wants to win it just as bad as your team wants to win. With two teams that want to win, somebody's got to lose.
Yep, someone's got to lose, and the team that may have won, they may have had more energy, maybe were more focused because they knew they were the underdogs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of instances as to why they maybe an upset would have occurred or something like that. Why did Michigan lose to Appalachian State? Well, there's various reasons for that. The good thing about CMU and Michigan State, I don't think there's any, compared to Michigan and Michigan State, you're either Michigan or Michigan State, and there's a lot of bad blood, I guess you could say. I think with Central and Michigan State, though, I think there's I would say there's a nice friendly sort of rivalry compared to Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan and Michigan State's kind of, well, you suck, we rule, and vice versa kind of deal. I don't think that's the case with Central Michigan and Michigan State.
No, that Central Michigan Michigan State game should be a great game, for the fans to watch. I know all the Michigan State fans will be expecting a Michigan win, and let's face it, Dan Enos, he's still rebuilding. I mean, he hasn't got the program where he wants to be. He's still in that rebuilding phase. But the problem now for Dan is that all the colleges, even the Central, Eastern, and Western, you don't have the rope that you have. I mean, years ago, you would get a head coach who had 5 years, and then it would drop down to 4 years. Now it's down to 3 years. And that's also permeating the same thing at the smaller levels. So that's unfortunate. But, when you're going to a college, you're not going to be given the time. So you may not even get a chance to see the first class you recruited play. Hey, we want to thank everyone for being with us this afternoon. Thank you all for calling, and we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. Remember, we come your way from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us, right here on AM 870 WKAR, East Lansing. So remember, come back and join us. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR, East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.